Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, I love talking to you. You're so easy. You're so fun. You have energy and you're happy. And that is not the case for everyone. So I want to thank you and I want to tell everybody that they should listen to you because you're providing good content in a happy way.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Today's guest mentor is Karen Chimay. She's joining me today from Dallas, Texas. And we're going to break apart two conversations. One, we're going to be talking about virtual assistants and how you can use them and what are the guidelines that you have if you're thinking about hiring a virtual assistant. Also, if you are using a virtual assistant, please send me an email, nancy@wementor.com. And I would love to hear what your experience is. And if you've got some further questions about how a virtual assistant works, I would love to hear them. And I'll air a future podcast regarding that. Secondly, we would like to talk about payroll protection plan. If you've accepted money, how does it affect who you hire and how you fire? And what are the other questions regarding the acceptance of the money and how it's the criteria around whether or not you're going to be paying it back? Karen is an excellent person who can help kind of break out the details of both topics. Today's sponsor is Sally Doyle, who has sponsored many of our podcasts. Thank you, Sally. Great Lakes Bookkeeping not only provides relief from the tedious bookkeeping tasks, but also uses the information as a roadmap to advise owners of opportunities that can help their business. With over 20 years of experience and expertise, owners trust Sally to help them achieve their goals and their dreams. You can reach her to get a profit analysis and cash flow projections, especially if you're thinking of growing your business and continue to add employees. It's really important to get a good, solid cash flow projection out so that you can make sure that if you're going to be adding a professional employer organization benefit packages, that you know how to pay for them and how to take really good care of the people that you're employing. Karen Chimay is a two-time internationally published author, speaker, and strategist. Her strong knowledge of corporate culture, human capital strategy, energy psychology, and communication skills allow her to strategize with power players on the best way to create a thriving business and, in turn, personal life. Karen does this work as a business performance advisor with Insperity. It's called a PEO, a Professional Employers Organization. And she also is a coach in her private practice. Her specialty is collaborating with her clients to remove their personally imposed hurdles and up-level their game. So Karen has many skills, as you're hearing, which are necessary in working with corporate environment. And those include stress management, hypnotherapy, crisis intervention, and various other methodologies. Her credentials include a degree in business administration, advanced Scrum Master certification, which is a way in which you can organize projects. It's a framework. And she's a member of Mensa International, immediate on-scene crisis intervention specialist, and certified in feng shui for real estate. So with all of her mega talents, she's putting together a video series. What's a professional employer organization or co-employment? What is that? We just talked about in our last conversation, a cafeteria plan, section 125. What are the components of that? Also in our last conversation, Karen mentioned a business growth life cycle video that she put together so that you can make sure that you're taking a look at What is the growth cycle of most businesses? And how do you fit into it? And how are you preparing for the transitions within your business? So welcome for a second conversation, Karen Chimay. How are you?
I'm well, Nancy. Thank you for having me here.
Yes. Well, you've got a plethora of skills and skill sets and insights and experience. And I just really appreciate what you're sharing with our listeners in our last conversation and also what we're going to be covering in this conversation. So why don't we start with many employers are hiring virtual assistants, and many of them are from other countries, especially the Philippines. What do you have as some guidelines for those hiring a virtual assistant? You know, kind of beyond the W-2 that are included in cafeteria plans. I don't know if that question makes any sense at all.
That question does make sense because a lot of people are probably asking it, and I am going to reframe that question.
Thank you.
Because it's incorrect.
Okay.
So there is a flaw in that question in that it assumes that people in the Philippines are treated the same way as United States workers. Now, I can tell you from a PEO model, but my guess is, I haven't looked at the laws, my guess is that this will apply if you look just at health insurance or if you look at any other benefits you're trying to offer. The co-employment model itself, the concept is a construct of the U.S. tax code and isn't recognized outside of the United States. So by virtue...
Right.
The professional employer organization that you're partnering with is going to have their EIN on the employee's W-2. It's possible that authorities in some countries might deem that that professional employer organization is doing business locally, and that would expose them to local taxes and other liabilities. That, combined with the fact that co-employment is a construct of the U.S. tax code and really so are cafeteria plans, means that anybody who is not a W-2 employee living on the contiguous United States or living within the physical United States, including D.C., is not included. They cannot be offered cafeteria plans through a co-employer or through a co-employment relationship. And a professional employer organization won't offer those benefits. I can't tell you about specific health insurance brokers. I can guess as to what would have to happen, but beyond how we treat them, they're not W-2 employees. And even if they were, they're not living on the physical United States land. I can't even say U.S. soil because that would include embassies or military bases. So if they're not for us, if an assistant, one, is not a W-2 employee, which most of these people are not, and two, is not physically living on U.S. land, then they aren't able to receive or be part of the cafeteria plan.
Okay. So how does a business owner work with a virtual assistant? So it would mean that the business owner would like to hire the virtual assistant, but not include them in a cafeteria plan.
Well, they can, or they can just treat them like a 1099. And most contractors I know, I can't speak to people in the Philippines, but most contractors that I know include in their rate everything that they would need, including this is how much it's going to cost me to get benefits, and this is how much it's going to cost me for gas. So that's just included in the cost that you're being charged by the contractor. So my assumption is that they might want to consider building that in. But again, it's a guess because it's not a W-2 employee that we would handle within the co-employment model.
Yeah. Okay. Do you handle virtual assistants in your co-employment model within the United States then? Is that what you're saying?
We would offer them cafeteria plans. Anybody who is a W-2 employee of our client and is full-time is eligible for a cafeteria plan. So whether they're a virtual assistant or not, if they are a full-time W-2 employee, then they are eligible. If they are not a full-time W-2 employee, then they are not eligible.
Okay. All right.
Now, that is, I can tell you that is, that could be just Insperity. However, our company, Insperity in itself is the Rolls Royce within the industry. And we have, we follow a lot of rules that other companies may not. Section 125 testing is one of those examples to refer back to our last conversation. But there are, this is a very good piece of knowledge for anybody who's considering partnering with an outsourcer to ask is, what are you doing and how do you follow these rules? Because there are some companies that will do whatever you ask them to, whether it's legal or not, because within their contract, it says that they're not responsible for any fines, penalties, or problems that you have with the government. They might pay the fine and then just pass it on to you, but they are not actually responsible. Whereas with Insperity, we take on that risk. And it's within our contract that if there is a violation, Insperity is responsible for it just as much as the business owner. So business owners need to have this and ask this question.
Well, and I think that's the co-employment model that you have. I mean, it really leverages the risk.
Well, it's not necessarily. Co-employment is just like I said, it's a construct of the U.S. tax code. Some within the co-employment model is a cafeteria plan. And in order to stay safe, you have to do Section 125 testing. Some companies will not. Within a co-employment model, they will not offer Section 125 testing. So there could be companies out there that will absolutely offer anything and everything to non-W-2 employees living in the Philippines. That doesn't necessarily mean it's legal. It just means they're doing it. So very important to ask questions and to know ahead of time. And not just get excited by a company who says, oh, you want this? Absolutely, we'll do it. I think a wise business person will look at somebody who says, we won't do that for you. And instead of kicking them out of the room or pulling them off of the table, ask the question, why? Why won't you do it? And a lot, in our case, the answer is because it opens you up to legal problems and it opens us up to legal problems and we're not willing to enter into that kind of an agreement.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. I'm ready to switch over to the payroll protection program. Is there anything else regarding virtual assistants that you think from a professional employer organization perspective, a business owner should consider?
No, the only thing is ask the questions of how does the company you're looking to partner with handle them? And why? Whether they say yes or no, why do you handle them that way?
Okay, that sounds good. So many business owners have accepted the payroll protection program and they did receive funding. And so there's no further funding that's projected right now from Congress. And so the amount due, the loans that were taken out, are being forgiven based on criteria that you have kept the employees employed. So describe how you are seeing it work or how you're working with business owners in the next steps when the monies are due, are analyzing the loans right now?
There are loans being analyzed at the moment, yes, but there haven't been any guidelines as of last week. What I know is there haven't been any guidelines or actual forgiveness steps taken. So I know a lot of business owners, if they're smart, are starting to look at, okay, where's our money? What did we do with it? Did we do what we're supposed to? Do we have the right paperwork in place? And they're starting to gather everything they think they'll need. Worst case, they did a little bit of work and they either they don't need any of it or they need part of it, but it's already, the work has already started instead of waiting until the last minute.
Okay. And do you know how it impacts who the business owner is hiring and firing?
Yes, absolutely. Hiring, no. I don't know because I don't think it impacts who they hire. However, the amount of the loan was given based on a number of employees that were on payroll.
Right.
So if a business owner said, I have 100 employees on payroll, and they didn't, we'll say, they had to prove it, but they didn't, then that's fraud. If they said, we have 100 employees on payroll, got the money and fired 80 of them, that's going to cause problems for them because the point was, we're giving you this money so that people can stay employed and keep their jobs. So anybody who was being fired, who has been fired, and I'm not talking about one-offs. Sometimes there's just true cause for termination. But any employer who took the money and did not use it for its stated purpose is going to find themselves in a world of trouble once all of the repayment and forgiveness options start kicking in.
Yes. Okay. And so what have you noticed business owners asking regarding the PPP? I know I had an episode on what the PPP program, you know, what it was involved in it. And an accountant went over, Sally Doyle, actually, some of the criteria. And we talked about the slow funding and when the funding then came through, how the process worked with banks. And so what have you noticed?
So I actually did get a few tips a couple weeks ago that might be helpful for your listeners. As far as the accounting of, now I am not an accountant. I am saying that right now. So definitely speak to your accountant about specifics. But the PPP loans should be recorded on the balance sheet as a loan without any monthly payments, and it should be considered a loan and kept on their statements until it is forgiven. I know some business owners have taken it off or not put it on there. The smart ones are putting them on the balance sheet as a loan and keeping it there until and unless it's been forgiven. And then if the loan is forgiven, forgiveness should show as income on the income statement under other income. It won't be taxable and it won't be included in EBITDA.
Okay. So it should be recorded in other income. That's a, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And you'll be able to track that through your balance sheet and when the loan payment is forgiven.
And their CPA / accountant / bookkeeper will know exactly how to do that. I won't even begin to attempt to explain how, but I did get those two little nuggets, and those for anyone who hasn't been keeping up, they might want to be aware of.
Sure. And what are some tax deferral suggestions that you have with employees opting in and out of permanent and temporary status?
Employees being W-2s versus being temporary employees?
Mm-hmm.
So that has nothing to do with tax deferrals. The government has offered tax deferrals for this year. Some employers are opting into it, payroll tax deferrals. Some employers are opting into it and some employers are not. The payroll tax deferral means that employees can opt to not have any taxes taken out of their paychecks this year for a while. So it keeps a little bit more money in their pockets.
Okay. For the rest of this year? Or wait, that would be when they file their taxes in 2021 for the year 2020.
No, it was something that they could have opted into that would have immediately stopped taking their payroll.
Okay, so you
now,
can, yeah,
if,
go ahead.
What's important about this is that the business owner has an option whether to give their employees this option or not. So the business owner did not have to opt into the program. What employees need to know about this is, and employers as well, If the taxes are not forgiven, the employees will have to pay the money back. So the deferral only applies to employees, not employers. And if employers are not allowing employees to opt in, they may have unhappy employees. So if this deferral is forgiven, then employees get to keep all that money. Essentially, they wouldn't have had to pay taxes. If they're not forgiven, then whatever taxes they got to keep in their pocket, they'll have to pay back. They'll just have to pay them later rather than now, which means that at the moment, they got to keep a little bit of cash in their pocket. That's up to the employee to keep track of, unless the employer lets them go, and then the employer will probably be on the hook for that.
Okay. So, go ahead.
So there's that part of it.
And if employers are bringing back workers that they have let go, do you have any suggestions?
As far as, well, that'll make a lot of workers happy, but what else?
Well, I was thinking in terms of, let's just talk about full-time employees. Actually, I'm not sure. I mean, it's such a broad question. That is hard for me to figure out, especially if you're focused on, you know, a cafeteria plant W-2 person who's, so they've been working full time. You had to let them go for some reason. When you're bringing them back, are you seeing any ways in which people are changing the criteria of their cafeteria plans that they're offering to employees that they're bringing back?
No, you can't pick and choose. It's illegal. You either offer everybody the same plan or you offer everybody no plan. So it is actually illegal for employers to say, well, I've got this in place and I let you go. You're coming back. You're getting something different.
Okay.
Beyond that, whatever plan you have in place is in effect for a year. There's open enrollment. I think everybody knows what open enrollment means. You can change your plan's structure once a year. So as far as employees, they only get to choose a plan once a year and then it closes down and that's what they have. Employers can't pick one style in January and then come back in February and change it up and then come back in March and change it up. What you have in place is what you have in place unless you get rid of it altogether. But you can't discriminate against certain employees and not others.
Yeah. Okay. And do you have any other suggestions regarding how business owners should be handling the payroll protection program?
I can say that there is no reason why they can't start getting their proof of payroll and all their other documents in place and start doing their calculations now. The forgiveness forms are already out, so they can start filling out those forms now and just hold on to them until they're needed.
Okay.
I highly, highly recommend that they talk to their CPAs and see what's next, but there's no reason to sit around waiting. You can start taking action and then just have everything ready when it's time to go.
Okay. And are you hopeful that there will be another payroll protection program before the end of the year that comes out from the government?
I haven't heard any talk about any new stimulus coming out this year.
Okay.
So, and I talked to CPAs, I talked to financial advisors, I talked to a lot of different people. I haven't heard any rumors of anything else coming out.
Okay. That's good for employees to know as well. Oh, very good. A lot to kind of keep track of, but it's all doable. And you're an easy person to talk with and to understand regarding some of the complications that people can have in understanding what they're offering to employees. And so I'm encouraging you as a business owner to contact Karen for any. I'll have her contact information in the show notes so that you can, she's easy to connect with any further questions that you have. I just wanted to offer some kind of an overview of the payroll protection plan, like, you know, do a check-in of where we're at and also get an understanding for those who are thinking about hiring virtual assistants, either in the United States or overseas, and you are working with a professional employer professional employer organization, that you have an understanding about how that works. So thank you so much, Karen. I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing all the content that you have in our both conversations. Thank you.
You are very welcome, Nancy. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Okay. And thank you as a listener for tuning in and getting some more information so that you can bump up your ability to how you are running your business. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, Mon Frere, brother from another mother. We'll see you next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a WeMentor mini lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in WeMentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out WeMentor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at WeMentor.com, or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening, and we'll see you next week.